Grace to you and peace
from God our Father, from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'm proclaiming the word this morning from the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 9. I'm preaching on a portion of that reading, verses 35 through to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, send out labourers into your harvest so that many may hear that word and receive your compassion and be drawn to your salvation. Amen. Last Sunday evening, I was speaking to a very worried Lutheran. They had, in my opinion, good cause for their worries about the church. They said to me, "This church is on its knees. We're shrinking in number, we're divided, and we have a desperate shortage of pastors." Yes, I thought, you're right. This is a serious situation. Many of you know this situation well yourselves. And as we think about it, it's hard not to have our hearts sink within us. Instinctively, I began to ask myself, well, what are we going to do? Where do we start? What can I do? How do we get going? And then I read the gospel reading for today, and God answered all those questions and he addressed all those concerns that sometimes weigh so heavily on our hearts. In Matthew's chapter 8 and 9, Jesus begins his kingdom work in earnest. And as he begins, his heart begins to become troubled as well. He's healing and teaching. He is moving around the territory of Galilee, doing as much as he can. In chapter 9 alone, leading up to the beginning of our text in verse 35, Jesus performs 5 healings and he raises a young girl from death. Matthew's description in verse 35 gives us the impression of Jesus moving around throughout all the towns of Galilee, almost with a kind of desperate urgency, preaching in the synagogues, healing the sick, proclaiming the gospel. He is moved, Matthew tells us, by a deep compassion for all of the needs he sees around him. He looks around at these people and they're harassed and helpless. They're on their knees. They were anxious and burdened by life, by the weight of sin in their lives and its many different effects. They were harassed, vulnerable, lost, scared, unprotected from the devil in the world, shepherdless sheep. People are like this today too, looking around in search of what is truly life-giving, trying to find what is really true, trying to find love, longing for a sense of peace and safety, wandering around like lost sheep. And Matthew tells us that Jesus' heart goes out to these people. He's trying to get to everybody because he has such love for them. He wants to care for them. He wants to save them. He wants to reach out to their needs. And he is aware that he only has a limited time, and it's very urgent. His statement in verse 37 almost, it would seem, has a note of surprise in it. Did you notice that? As if Jesus himself did not quite expect this overwhelming crowd of people reaching out to him for his ministry all at once. He says, wow, this harvest is huge, but the labourers are few. Or to be more accurate, the Greek really says something more like this: this harvest is absolutely vast, and the labourers are just a tiny handful. He uses this picture of the harvest ripe and ready here and now. And anybody who knows about fruit or grain production knows that when the crop is ready, you only have a limited window of time in which to get that crop off before it is overripe or spoiled. And so this is the picture that Jesus is using here. He's saying there's a really big problem here and it's urgent. Who will go out and gather in the souls that are there waiting for salvation and help? The labourers for that field are so few, not nearly enough. Jesus' mission to reach out with God's love is, it would seem, in danger. The kingdom of God has only just come into the world with Jesus. Is it already faltering on its knees? How is the kingdom of God going to come without labourers, without workers? This is not just a challenging task that Jesus is putting in front of his disciples. It's actually an impossible task. There is a real crisis here. Well, what would we do at this point? We would go into problem solving, probably. We would go into HR management. We need to get workers. We need to do a recruiting drive. We need to get them organised and motivated and involved. And that is really quite reasonable, I would suggest. In fact, this is my own first instinct. Get up on my feet and get something happening. Action. My friend the other night, who shared his concerns about the church with me, was right. Our Lutheran Church of Australia is nearing a point of crisis. We have a massive lack of pastors. Pastors are leaving ministry, and we have very small numbers of students coming in to begin their studies. This has been a big topic of conversation in our circles in the LCA in this last week. We have more work to do than ever. We are faced, like Jesus, with many people with needs, spiritual needs, deep needs that must be met. People who are harassed and helpless. Sheep who need to know the Good Shepherd. But the labourers really are few. Common sense tells us that we need to do something. We need to have a strategy and a plan for recruiting new pastors and training them and getting them out there. And these are all good points and good ideas. And indeed, there is a time for planning and for effective action. But Jesus' response to the crisis in verse 38 is really not what we might have expected. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out labourers into his harvest. Jesus says that the right way for us to respond here is not to go into overdrive and throw ourselves at the problem, because this problem is too big for us. It really is. Instead, we need to give the issue to the only one who can meet the need, the one whose harvest it actually is, and who alone can handle this impossibly difficult situation. Do you remember Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6? Jesus is faced, once again, with an impossible crisis. 5,000 hungry people and almost no food. He tells his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And they say, "Jesus, are you crazy? It would take 8 months' wages to get enough bread for this mob. And there's nowhere to buy bread because we're out in the sticks." And what does Jesus do? Jesus does a miracle. He proceeds to feed that huge crowd with 5 bread rolls and 2 fish. Because you see, Jesus is not limited by human crises and human shortages. He is able to provide. This God is able to send out labourers into his harvest. He is able to do what we cannot do because he is a God of miracles. He can change hearts, he can change minds, he can move money, he can overcome obstacles in ways that we cannot begin to imagine. And so we do not need to be anxious. God is in charge of his harvest. God is in charge of his church. He is in charge of the harvest, its timing, its completion, its success. Jesus says, pray to him. We have few workers. No doubt, we have a part to play. The time for planning and action will come. But what is most essential at the moment is not that we act, but that we pray. We need to be on our knees, not on our feet. We need to have our hands ready for prayer, not busily wringing themselves or running around. Many great Christian teachers have pointed out that this prayerful attitude in the church, this prayer for the harvest, has often been the missing essential ingredient in mission efforts in the church's life. Where so often we are tempted to make human plans and human actions the centre stage things. One theologian I was reading about this text during this week, Frederick Bruner, said that in the church's history it's quite clear: where there is prayer, there is health and strength and mission in the church. Where there is little prayer, there is little mission. And this is borne out in Scripture itself. Read the book of Acts. Prayer is the constant activity of the apostles' mission as they face issues and problems, insurmountable obstacles, overwhelming opposition. But they pray, they trust in God's power, and they receive the help they need. And the gospel goes out in ways they themselves couldn't have imagined or planned. Think of the great 19th century mission societies in England and Europe. These were largely groups of praying Christians. They held these great mission rallies and gatherings. What did they do at these events? Did they plan and strategize and recruit? Well, those might have been good and sensible things to do at some point, but the fact is that mostly they prayed. And God answered their prayers. He sent out labourers. We have the evidence of that in our own church, in many different places, notably the Hermannsburg Mission in Central Australia, which was the fruit of prayer and prayerful work. This happened also in many other places, in Indonesia, in Africa, South America, other places as well. This morning, in our prayer of the church, you will notice that little prayer that we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest that is included very often in many of our general prayers. This is an important prayer for us to keep praying from the heart. Not just at this time in the LCA's history when we're facing very grave difficulties, but all the time. Because it's a prayer we pray in obedience to Jesus' command here in Matthew chapter 9. That little prayer might often go unnoticed or fly under the radar, but it's very important. And as we pray, we will be where Christ wants us to be at this time in the harvest. On our knees, not in desperation, but in hopeful, confident, and joyful prayer. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.